You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
Look out there, what's that ass?
Cheesehead. Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers goes deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's a man.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. Yes, we are back again. This is our 10th season on Cheesehead Radio. Your hosts tonight are the self-proclaimed, stunningly handsome C.D. Angeli, also known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, along with the impressively impressive Kelly Hodgson, that Packer girl on Twitter, and finally, little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network once again are our very good friends at Ticket King. Selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years, they've rightfully earned an excellent reputation for customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That takes care of the formalities. Let's get this crazy show on the road.
Who's my Chiefs?
All right, Green Bay Packer Nation, it is time for the NFL's 100th season kickoff starring the Green Bay Packers and some team from south of the border. Can't quite remember who they are, but we're going to hit right off the bat with who moved my cheese. But since we don't really have any moving our cheese until after tomorrow night, we're going to start out with our sharp cheddar. Who is your prediction for the hero of the game against the Bears kickoff game? My guess, Aaron Jones. Yes, that other Aaron's going to be a great as always, but Aaron Jones is going to be the guy that's going to wear down the defensive line, and assuming Matt LaFleur's offense has a great ratio, is going to show up as the new hero establishing the running game in Green Bay.
Okay. I'm also going with Mason Crosby, basically because I love irony, and thus I selected him for my fantasy football team.
Wow.
I've passed up other better kickers just to take him purposely.
Moving on to our Swiss cheese, who is your prediction for an unexpected surprise, the surprise player coming out in the Bears kickoff game? I'm going to go with Jimmy Graham. Now, I don't know if he's going to show up at all the rest of the season, but I got a feeling Jimmy Graham's got a little bit to prove after last season, and it's a big national stage. Look for Jimmy Graham to make a splash on Thursday night.
And for my Swiss cheese, I'm going with Trevor Davis, who will return a punt for a touchdown against the Bears.
All right, and finally, our Limburger cheese. In the 1 in 10 million chance the Packers were to lose tomorrow night to the Bears, who's going to be the person we blame? Who is the GOAT? Well, going to go contrary to both Kelly and Al. I'm going to say it's going to be Mason Crosby. You know, the battle for kicker in the preseason did go his way, but boy, there's some funny bounces on field goals at Soldier Field. Mason Crosby, if it has to be, will be your GOAT.
As for my Limburger cheese, I'll go with Danny Vitale. Just the mere presence of a fullback on the field is sure to confuse this offense.
All right, we've got a lot more great Packer talk coming up for you here on Cheese Radio. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Playbooks.
Green Bay Packers are back. It's finally here. We've been waiting for what seems like an eternity of an offseason. The Green Bay Packers take the field Thursday night against the Chicago Bears, and there's so much that we are looking forward to. You see people on Twitter, they're on pins and needles. But before we get to it, let's talk a little bit about the final 53. Jersey Al, a lot of people were trying to predict that final 53. Did you have any surprises or disappointments from what you saw in that final 53?
Not necessarily disappointments. I did, even though I totally agreed that Tim Boyle should stay and Kaiser should go, I actually tried to be contrary and predicted that the Packers would keep Kaiser, you know, only thinking that, you know, they're not going to give up on a guy that they traded for, you know, so recently and gave up, you know, a former first round pick for. But you know, Goody called it as he saw it and sent Kaiser packing, and I don't have a problem with it. It did just surprise me that they did do that. Also a bit surprised that they've ended up with 7 wide receivers on their roster. You know, with all the talk about use of the tight ends and increasing the running game, I'm not sure I saw the need for 7 wide receivers. Obviously, they started with 6 and just today, I think, added Lazard after Sternberger went on IR. But, yeah, so that would be the closest I'd say would be to a surprise for me.
Kelly, your thoughts?
Yeah, just to echo those sentiments, 7 seems a little redundant. But that makes me wonder, is the biggest disappointment the tight end core? You know, if we were supposed to have the, you know, an uptick in quality with the tight ends, why do we need 7 receivers? Does that tell me there's Jerry Graham and a bunch of other guys, which honestly, I cannot name them if I have to look them up. So yeah, it is Jimmy Graham and a bunch of other guys. What happens if Jimmy Graham gets hurt? I think that's a great big deficit that's just waiting to happen. Other than that, I'm not too surprised by the roster cut. I wasn't surprised by Boyle getting capped as QB2. I wasn't surprised by Mason Crosby beating out random camp kicker. The inside linebacking depth chart is not that deep, and if we have one injury, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So those are my thoughts on the 53.
I think that there really shouldn't have been a lot of surprises. Maybe that's different from past camps. You almost feel like this whole preseason the starters just simply weren't playing at all. And really all we saw for 4 games were guys just fighting for those maybe last 10 spots on the roster because the top 43 didn't play at all.
I think that factors into why I didn't watch a whole lot of preseason, because I got bored. I wanted to see at least half of the starting lineup, and we didn't really see any of them. We sure didn't see Rodgers, and I just felt like I was watching the JVs all summer long, and knowing that the vast majority of those guys weren't going to make the team, I lost some interest in this year for the first time in a long time.
This preseason was really a bad time for me. I really didn't enjoy very much of it at all. And I kind of ranted on that on the last week's show, and also in a couple of articles on Cheesehead TV. I've kind of had it with what I'm seeing in preseason, and just no coaches are taking it seriously anymore as far as getting meaningful players, meaningful playing time in preseason. So it's just really a constant evaluation for the bottom of the roster, and I don't see why, you know, people need to buy tickets for that, and we need to televise it and present it as real game. So a bit of a cynical, negative outlook by me, but that's where I am.
And get off my lawn while you're at it too, right?
That too.
This really was the best way to do it. I mean, if you're, you know, the Winnipeg game, I think, was the perfect example. You shouldn't be putting your starters out there in harm's way. And of course, the backers did and paid for it with a couple of players. If this is what the preseason has become, then that's what it is. As Kelly said, it's a JV time. You know, you go to a game, you get a ticket like I did for $13 or for free. You go to a game, people get to go, and sure, you're watching the backups, but it's an exhibition. Get to pay your $13 for brought, have that privilege. And I agree with you, Al, the preseason I think has run its course, but if it's going to be the way it is, basically just playing your bottom 70 guys on your roster is probably the best way to go. All right, moving on. Demarius Randall. I guess we got to talk about this. Demarius Randall, the player who was traded to the Cleveland Browns for Kaiser, he said this was the worst trade in Packers history. No matter what, I can sit there and say I was traded for DeShone Kaiser. Was this the worst trade in Packers history, Al?
No. No. Come on. Does anybody remember John Hadle?
Actually, no, we don't, Al.
What grade was I in when that happened?
I think they traded yet, 5 draft picks or something for him. Something crazy like that. That will always be the worst trade in Packers history.
You know, I kind of made the point the other day, too. I said, this wasn't as much it was trying to trade for Kaiser. It was just trying to get something of value for Demarius Randall. And we got a project that we hoped was going to pan out, and it didn't.
Agreed. No disagreement there.
And he was so bad that we couldn't even trade Kaiser for anything. We couldn't even get $50 on a case of beer for him. We had to just outright cut him, and now he's elsewhere.
So moving forward, how do you guys feel about Boyle? I mean, is this the guy just filling the spot? Do you think the Packers are going to have to pick up a veteran backup this season? Or do you guys feel confident in his development that the Packers have the guy that they want for the future right now on the roster?
I think they have the guy that they feel best about right now on the roster. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be looking elsewhere. But I think they've proven over time that they're really not going to go out and get, you know, a veteran quarterback to be a backup. They don't value that as a good way to – good use of their dollars, I think, is a big part of that. Because, face it, you know, if Rodgers gets hurt and misses the season, the Packers are not going to the playoffs no matter what veteran, you know, quarterback they get that's out there and available, and there aren't very many. So I think they're happy with sticking with Boyle. I think they'll continue looking for other young people to bring in, you know, for tryouts and possibly a practice squad spot. And they did keep Manny Wilkins on the practice squad, who, you know, showed a little bit in a very limited playing time, but he looks like he might be worth developing, and I think that's just the way they're going to go.
Yeah, I see Boyle more as a placeholder. He seemed to be less inept than Kaiser, but he isn't. It's kind of like that ad. It's like he's just okay. He's not great. He's not bad. He's just okay. He can get the job done. Yeah, I see him on par with a Brent Huntley, maybe a Matt Flynn, but I would hope that the Packers would keep their eyes open for a better quality backup, because the last couple of years when Rodgers has gone down with an injury and we've had to deal with one of our QB2s, it's been disastrous. And in each instance, maybe that was McCarthy just conceding loss at that point and realizing there was no plan without Aaron Rodgers. I would hope that LaFleur would be more forward-thinking than that. You know, if you were to ask me, well, who should we go after? I honestly don't know the answer, but I think we need to keep looking. Because I think anything is probably an improvement.
Well, I think the truth is if Rodgers goes down, we're
looking screwed,
at the same
result
as the past couple of seasons. I mean, Rodgers is, you know, I think there was just an article that said the impact that every quarterback in the NFL has on handicapping the game. And Aaron Rodgers leads every quarterback in what is measured as his impact on the line in a game of 7.5 points single-handedly. If you think about that, and that's 7.5 points per game that he just simply adds by being there, that's a huge difference in wins and losses.
So, CD, I've got a question for you. If you look at what happened last year when Rodgers went down, or the years before, McCarthy tried to settle for running Rodgers light with whoever the backup quarterback was, and that didn't necessarily work. Do we need to find a – right now, is LaFleur hopefully going to be different in his approach to that and play to the backup quarterback strength? Because it really seemed like McCarthy did not. Because if that's the case, maybe Boyle will be enough to get by. Because I think what happened was each time he tried to run Rodgers light, it was his playbook playing to Rodgers' strength, not necessarily Brett Huntley's or Deshone Kaiser's.
You know, I'm not sure that McCarthy, especially the past several years, I don't think he was really running that much of a playbook. I think, you know, if the rumors that Rodgers was changing plays right in the huddle are true, it was basically Rodgers going out there and, you know, kind of like Brett Favre under Mike Sherman, just go out and win the game for us. We'll just stand here on the sideline and watch. I think what you're going to see with Matt LaFleur is a dedication to the scheme. Now, guess what? Aaron Rodgers may still break away from the scheme, but the scheme is still going to be what holds this team together. It's going to be the fabric in which it's bred. So what I'm hoping you're going to see is, yes, Rodgers should be playing within the scheme. I think you're going to see him be a little more disciplined, at least this season. But if he were to get hurt, you've got a backup quarterback who's been trained in the scheme. And therefore, it's not him going out to trying to be Rodgers or trying to be himself. It's just simply saying, this is the guy who fits our scheme the best, and I think he's going to be the one to do that. Jersey Al, it has been the talk of the entire preseason. Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, are they going to get along? And, of course, all week long, it's been, is Aaron Rodgers going to be allowed to audible? And LaFleur comes out a few days ago and says, yes, he's going to be allowed to audible. And that, of course, has Packer Nation all a Twitter. Your thoughts on Audiblegate?
I don't know. I think we should ask Matt LaFleur a few more times about it. I'm sure he'll give us a very cogent and interested answer. I imagine everyone's seen a little clip of his latest press conference where he gets a little annoyed at the nonstop flow of questions about Rodgers and audibling and whatnot. Everybody is done talking about this or is tired of talking about this, probably the three of us included. Rodgers has earned the right to come up to the line of scrimmage, read the defense, and change the play if he sees it's a bad choice. He's absolutely earned the right. Matt LaFleur, rookie head coach, is not going to tell him otherwise. It was like that from the beginning. You know, I don't know why it had to get blown up. Well, I know why, because guys like Florio decided to make something out of nothing. But it was always going to be like that. It's not going to be a problem. As we used to say on Cheesehead Radio, it's going to be just fine. Everything's fine. It'll be just fine.
I want to know why the audible itself is such an issue, because what upper-level quarterback doesn't have the liberty to call an audible if he sees something that his coach may not have anticipated? To me, this just seems like creating drama to create drama. It's like, oh, Rodgers put ketchup on his steak, pass it on. You know, it's like looking for reasons to pick a fight when there isn't one there. So I can totally understand LaFleur's frustration, because I think it's much ado about nothing.
Yeah, most certainly is.
I think a lot of it really comes from the purported story. And of course, it was repeated by, I think, what, Greg Jennings or somebody like that. But somebody made the point that instead of making the change at the line, a play would come in from the sideline or be radioed in from the sideline, and Rodgers would literally look at the huddle and says, "We're not calling that. I'm going to call this instead." Now, whether that's true or urban legend or just, you know, Greg Jennings stirring things up, I think that's what stuck with people. And now I think it's kind of permeated to whether he's allowed to audible at all. As you said, he can audible at the line. That's fine. But, you know, if this happened in the huddle, I think that's more representative of the power struggle that he and McCarthy were having, which I agree, I don't think we're going to see with LaFleur.
Well, if you just look at the body language, you know, again, we're reading stupid tea leaves. But if you look at the body language, even on preseason, it definitely didn't seem as tense as it had become between McCarthy and Rodgers. It definitely, there's a level of comfort I haven't seen for a couple of years between head coach and quarterback. And granted, I could be reading way too much into it, but I don't think there's as much drama as Florio or Jennings is making out. Jennings hasn't been there for years. He really has no idea what's going on in that locker room. He's basing it on his own tainted lens. And I just can't take what the guy says seriously anymore.
All right. Let's take a break in the playbook.
Packer tweets from Packer.
Well, we've got a couple of Packer tweets. We're not really in prime Twitter form yet until I think we get these games played, but we'll give it a shot. We each got a tweet that we're going to put out there, and then we'll all take a vote on who wins this week's Tweet of the Week. Kelly, you give us a start.
I'm going to go with everybody's favorite koala, Milltown Bucky. Woohoo! Less than 24 hours till field condition Twitter is activated. Let's go.
Yes. Mine comes from the Packer Ranter. Not sure who needs to hear this, but I have permission to audible too.
All right, and my Packer tweet comes from Jimmy Christensen, who's a little excited about Packers football and says, "The Packers play tomorrow, and I'm about ready to name my next kid Matt LaFleur Christensen when the Packers turn around this year."
That was a great tweet, Al. Well,
thank you to whoever
well
put that in for me. CD.
I'm just going to say that the Packers Twitter community is on preseason mode as well.
Yes, we're a lot of backups right now, no starters. So let's take a quick vote. Kelly, who wins your vote? Can't vote for yourself.
I will always vote for Packer Ranter because he's the funniest thing on the internet.
I'm going to have to vote for Jersey Al because I really like that tweet I picked for him.
Hey, that's cheating.
What's worse is I've got to pick CDs and go with the Packer answer, so
yeah.
he gets the win.
Technically, I got all three votes. This is awesome.
Yeah, technically, right.
I think this is the Cheesehead Radio version of gerrymandering the vote. Come on.
All right, we're going to resume the playbook, and instead of looking back, we're going to look ahead. We got the Bears coming up tomorrow night. A lot of things to get us nervous, scared. I mean, it's going to be a great matchup. I think you can throw out the records, throw everything out. This is a national stage. You're going to see both teams going hard at it tomorrow. They're both 0-0, kickoff, national stage. What's your analysis? I guess the biggest talk has got to be probably Aaron Rodgers and that offensive line taking on what's probably one of the best defensive front sevens in the league. And I hate to say that about the Bears for anything, but unfortunately, it's pretty much true. Jersey Al, your thoughts?
You know, I'm thinking about this game a lot and thinking about last year's game. And I don't know that I'm going to see a repeat of what we saw last year. I really think that the Bears' defense is going to take a few steps down and that this Packers' offense is going to take quite a few steps up. And I think last year, the Bears' coaching staff came out with a bunch of, with a nice scheme that really surprised the Packers in the first half. And I think you're going to see the opposite this game. I think you're going to see the Packers have the Bears scrambling and maybe starting to doubt themselves a little bit. So I'm looking for a really good performance by the Packer offense in this game. Doesn't necessarily mean they'll win, because obviously with the Packers, it always comes down to how good will their defense be. But in this matchup, I think the Packers offense will do quite well against the Bears' vaunted defense.
Part of me still gets twitchy because the first time Rodgers broke a collarbone, it was at home against the Bears. Last year's season opener against the Bears on Sunday Night Football, I felt sick to my stomach when Rodgers went down, went out to the locker. My biggest anxiety is please don't break Aaron Rodgers on the first game. I think, Al, you're on to something. I think the offense is definitely going to be taking a step up, and we're going to be less predictable this year. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Bears came out and really punched the Packers in the face that first half of that first game last year. Is, like we said this many times over last season, is Mike McCarthy's offense got stale and predictable, and the Bears could predict it. Well, with Mike LaFleur, there's an element of the unknown, and perhaps this is one of the few advantages of not seeing any of the starters play in the preseason, is nobody really knows what Mike LaFleur is going to do opening day. And that's actually kind of reassuring because there's going to be this element of surprise that we haven't had for years. That said, I think the defense that the Bears are going to put forward is going to be a formidable one, and I think we have to prepare for them. I hope our offensive line is ready to protect. Again, we didn't get to see them in action in the preseason, but I'm hopeful that they're ready to meet this very first tough challenge. And if I think they could do that, I think it's going to bode well for the rest of the season.
I think perhaps one of my biggest fears going into this game tomorrow night, and if you've really watched the Packer preseason games, and I realize that we really weren't playing our defensive starters. We're not seeing Za'Darius Smith. We're not seeing Preston Smith, Amos, and all these guys playing, Kenny Clark playing the full game. But boy, there were so many times during the preseason you were seeing absolutely no pressure put on the quarterback. You were seeing, and obviously, like I said, it's second and third string, but guys were having time in the pocket forever to throw against the Packers defense. That's, I think, my biggest concern going in here. Yeah, we have these wonderful pieces we put into place that should improve the defense, but they haven't really played together yet. And so I'm really interested to see what this concoction of all these different chemicals we've mixed together are actually going to do. I'm not afraid of Mitchell Trubisky, but you don't know. If we don't quite have it cohesively put together yet, that to me is probably my biggest concern going into Thursday night. All right. Do you guys have any other topics you want to bring in right away on tomorrow's game?
Let's just get it going.
Got it.
Let's just make it happen. Get it. Let it get here really quick, and let's get this game going and watch some real football.
One thing I wanted a quick comment on too is I really have a lot of respect for this rivalry. I hate the Vikings, but I love to hate the Bears. And I think that the difference is that the Packers and the Bears are kind of the yin and yang. So This is something you look forward to. You want to beat the Bears. And there's that thin line between love and hate. I'm not going to say I love the Bears any day, but you're definitely passionate about them. You passionately hate them. The Vikings just kind of disgust you. But when you go back and you look at the history of George Halas and Vince Lombardi and Curly Lambeau and how far back these teams go, this really is the perfect game to kick off the 100th season with.
No, I couldn't agree more. You know, CD and I grew up both in the Green Bay area. It was Packer Bears. That's what it distilled down to every year, and it still does. Now that I live on the western side of the state, I'm a stone's throw from Minnesota, and I can echo, oh my God, I hate the Vikings. I hate everything about them. I hate their stupid horn. Their fans are obnoxious, and their fans are doubly obnoxious if they live in Wisconsin. I can't stand anything about them. I drive past their practice stadium on the way to the airport. I laugh. I have no respect for the Vikings, I'll be completely honest. But I love to hate the Bears. And I think part of it is the Vikings don't respect us. The Bears do. And it's that 100-year rivalry. And you go back to the beginning of pro football, and the Bears were there, the Packers were there. And it's your arch nemesis. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a tough game. And you'll be talking about it the rest of the year. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, there's a great book for anyone who hasn't seen it, called Mudbaths and Bloodbaths, written by Gary D'Amato and Cliff Crystal. And it's all about the Packers-Bears rivalry, basically 288 pages of stories about this longest running rivalry in the NFL. And if you haven't read it or haven't seen it, you should definitely try and find that. It's the definitive book on the rivalry.
Well, just look at the ads leading up to the game. You know, you've got the Chicago superfans from the SNL skit from the 90s. You've got Peyton Manning, Betty White, and Brett Favre. You would not see this with any other team going up against the Packers for the opening kickoff. It's that big of a rivalry. It's that big infused into the pop culture of the country that it's kind of a big deal.
Here's an interesting little observation. The Packers and the Bears have played, I'm guessing, more games against each other than any other two teams in NFL history. But if you ever make a list of, say, the top 20 or the top 50 games in NFL history, how many Packer-Bears games are on that list? I mean, there really are no legendary Packer-Bear individual games. Well, maybe the instant replay game, but that's really only something that's true. It's for us. It's not really a nationally great thing. You know, it's not really looked at as a great game. It's just something we as Packer fans get very excited about. There's not a lot of them. So I guess in a way, that's my hope for this game on Thursday night, is that this is going to be a game that is one for the ages, win or lose. I think you just really want this to represent the best of the NFL, the best of the Packers and Bears. Hopefully it's just a great, great game either way.
Come on. Oh, yeah.
All right, I guess I'll start with my hot pocket. I'm sick of the drama. I'm sick of Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk. I'm sick of the word audible. I'm sick of the word chemistry. I'm sick of Rodgers versus Matt LaFleur. I'm sick of Greg Jennings, haha, Clinton Dix, and anyone else that's still whining about the Packers. Man, you can tell it's been the preseason because the clickbait has ruled supreme. But that all stops tomorrow night with the first kickoff. We're getting real football. 17 weeks, 16 games, winner takes it all. You know, it's 160 hours of regular season football. Less drama, more football is what I say. Enough with this nonsense. Let's get this season started, and that is my
Hot Pocket.
Okay, while not even 2 years on the job, GM Brian Gutekunst, or Goody as we affectionately call him, has established a few things. One, he has little interest in keeping former Ted Thompson draft picks that aren't starting caliber. Secondly, he's not afraid to bite the bullet on his own moves, as proven by cutting Jamon Moore and Deshaun Kizer. Finally, he doesn't have half the patience of Ted Thompson. Goody obviously has the courage of his convictions, and that's a really good thing. And that is my
Last year, HaHa Clinton Dix and Adrian Amos lined up on the other players' team colors. Now, much ado is being made amongst Packers Bears Twitterverse and who came out ahead in the trade. Bears fans keep looking giddily at HaHa's glowing ratings over the years on sites like Pro Football Focus and ignore his lack of effort in tackling. Packer fans believe that anything is an improvement over Clinton Dix, and therefore they think they've already won this offseason battle. In the end, tomorrow night we'll settle what many Bear and Packer fans may have a side bet on, who actually got the better safety from the other team. My prediction, it's all going to come down to which defense helps their new safety the most. Fortunately, it might be the Bears front seven making HaHa look good by simply not making him responsible for anything. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
It is the NFL's 100th season kickoff, and there are no two better teams to face off than the Bears and the Packers. Who do you got, Jersey Al?
All right, I've got the Packers going ahead to an early lead and then holding on late as Adrian Amos intercepts Trubisky. Packers 24-21, beating the Bears at their home field.
All right, and I'm going to say that the Packers really, really would like this one. I think the Bears really, really want this one. You never get a national stage like this in a century. And when these two teams meet, regardless of the recent history, you can throw out the records. My head says the Bears, but my heart says Green Bay 24, Chicago 20. Go Heart.
All right, I think we're going to go three for three. When it comes to the Packers and the Bears, the winner always seems to be the one holding the ball at the end of the game. Yeah, it's often that close. This week, I suspect it will be the same. It's why the rivalry is so good. It doesn't matter if you've got one heading to the Super Bowl, one holding up the basement. When they come together, they give you one heck of a game. And the Packers are hungry this year. I think they've got a lot to prove. Because after last year, there's only one way, but that's up. And I'm hopeful they'll start off the season with a bang. And I'm going to say it's going to be a lot of score. So it's going to be Packers 28, Bears 24. Don't know why. Weird numbers, but that's what I'm going with.
Three for three, guys.
Here we go.
Blessed optimism from the Cheesehead Radio crew.
It's week one.
Well, hopefully they come through for us. It's going to be a great game on Thursday night.
All right, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 10th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter, and please like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes, and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe, and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen to us by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. Week one, here we go. It's Bears week. That's a wrap. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. 1-0. Big win Thursday night.
Cheesehead Radio.